Okay, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Tanakh in a Day. I hope you're enjoying your lunch. Please carry on eating, take seconds if they are. And thank you so much for coming and participating. It has been really a wonderful, wonderful day. Special thanks to Serena and David Kashitsky that dedicated this entire event in memory of Reva Kashitsky, may the Neshama have in Aliyah. I want to thank all of our amazing speakers who are not here, I think. And of course, I want to thank my dear friend and colleague, Rabbi Sonnenberg, for organizing this wonderful, wonderful event. Thank you so much. We carry on doing amazing things. Lehagdil Torah v'lehadira. So this topic that I want to discuss with you today, Sheva ben Bichri, Yonah Hanavi, and the trolley problem. So it is actually a halachic question, a very, very sad halachic ethical question that we have to deal with from time to time. And the roots to the answers of these halachic questions and ethical questions come up from several stories in Tanakh. And this is the question, can we save one's life on the expense of another person's life? Meaning the only way for me to save a person's life sometimes will be only if I will have to take away someone else's life. And this comes up, of course, in war, but unfortunately, this also comes up in times of peace. Just a few examples that happened, real stories that happened in the past. For instance, a few years ago in Surfside, Florida, the famous story of the building that collapsed. A friend of mine died in that incident, Benny Weiss, Zichrono Livracha. And for a very long time, it took a long time until those who wanted to help and save the people brought in the heavy equipment to move around the rubble in order to save people, because they were concerned. If they're going to bring this heavy equipment, they're going to, at the process, kill people. So they actually avoided doing it in order to maybe, I don't know, find a better time and an opportune moment to go and start moving things around in order to save people. What should we do? Are you allowed to bring in heavy equipment? And you know that people will either be injured or die because of this, in order to save others. This is one practical example of this question. Another question that came up in the time of COVID. I remember in 2020, so when COVID was this big, scary thing that people were afraid about around the entire world, Israel was COVID-free, but there were two Israeli tourists, on a Japanese ship, boat. They were enjoying themselves, but on the ship, they had people that had COVID, and because of that, the Israeli government were afraid to take in those two citizens. They said, listen, but we need to be treated, we need to go to our hospitals. They said, no, we're afraid to bring you in, because if we will bring you in, maybe you'll bring now COVID to Israel. So they were very, very afraid. What do you do? Can you now sacrifice the lives of these two people in order to save, potentially, at least in the eyes of Israel, the entire state of Israel? This story also came up famously at 9/11. Flight 93 of United Airlines, a very, very special flight. They were the only passengers that decided to fight back against the terrorists, and they succeeded. They decided, I think they took a vote, and they said, we're going to take down the plane no matter what. They took the trolley. I think it is quoted that's what one of the passengers said, let's roll, and they rolled the trolley into the cockpit, they opened the door, and they managed to take down the plane in order to save whatever destination the plane was actually going to. In a halachic perspective, were they allowed to do this thing? What do you think? In a halachic perspective, because they now, maybe, of course not judging anyone, but just what halacha has to say about this thing, what Tanakh has to say about this thing, are they allowed to take away their own life in order to save the lives of others? This is a very, very major question. Yeah? You would say a person is obligated to do so? Why would you say that? So you're saying that since he wants to save a whole group of people, so one person is maybe obligated to give away his life in order to save others. So actually, I will remind you a famous ethical question called the trolley problem. Do you know, are you guys familiar with this question, the famous trolley problem? The trolley problem is a famous story. Of course, it never happened, but let's say it did. There's a trolley going down a railroad. Its brakes aren't working, and now it's headed to kill one person. But you are you're standing in an intersection and you could play with the tracks and you can now divert the trolley for going to this one person. Sorry, opposite. It was going to five people. Yes, my mistake. It was going to kill five people. And you can now divert the trolley and the trolley will now kill one person on the other side. Can you do that? Should you do that? Would you say it's the same thing? That you're obligated to do it? Can you do it? Should you do it? Yeah. Very good question. We have so many amazing stories of Roy Klein and also another person, I forgot his name at the moment, that in this past war, he also jumped on a grenade in order to save his friends in the tank and he saved everyone. Is there an obligation to do that? Are you allowed to do that? Again, terrible questions. And B'zal Hashem, by learning these halachos, we won't have to experience it halacha lemaisa, but let's see what Tanakh and halacha has to say about it. Of course, it's a very, very major topic, and we have only 24 minutes to cover this amazing, this major, major topic, but we'll see a bit of the guidelines of our rabbis throughout the generations that again, learned these halachos from stories in Tanakh. So let's begin in source number one. I don't know which page I am in the booklet, but I'm somewhere in between. Sheva ben Bichri, Yonah Novi, and the trolley problem. And the Gemara in source number one, famous Gemara Masechet Sanhedrin, tells us the following halacha. The halacha is, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shimon ben Yotzadak, the rabbis determined and said, Kol averot shebatorah, im omrim la'adam avo ve'al te'areg, yavo ve'al yareg. Every single mitzvah in the Torah, every single avera in the Torah, if a person is now threatened, let's say by a bad person, a non-Jewish person, that comes to him with a gun and says to him, I want you to desecrate Shabbos or I will kill you. The mitzvah is, the halacha is, he should desecrate Shabbos and not give his life away. Because every single mitzvah of the Torah, we have this general rule called v'chai b'hem. A person should survive, a person should live, and living is much better than not living. So yes, you should desecrate Shabbos, you should eat not kosher, you should, I don't know, not put on tefillin in the morning in order to stay alive. However, there are three major averos, three major prohibitions that a person should give his life away in order to not do these averos. And what are they? Three capital punishments, three averos, avodah zarah, gilu arayos, ushfichus damin. Meaning idol worship, adultery, and bloodshed. In that case, a person should say, I rather you kill me than me taking the life of another person. So again, so say a bad person comes with a gun saying, kill this person, kill Reuven, or I will kill you. A person should say, kill me, because I will not save my life on the expense of the life of another person. Why is it? What is the reason behind this? Says the Gemara, you don't need any pasuk, you don't need any source, it's just logic. It's pure logic. Svarahu, mi yeimar de dama didach, sumak tfei, who says that your blood is redder than, and more important than the blood of your friend? Maybe it's not. So because of that, you should give your life and not save your life on the expense of another person. So we see from here, if a person is in danger, he cannot obviously kill another person in order to save himself. Well, wait a second. We have a story in Tanakh, yeah? In Achanami, we don't know how to measure this. We can never. Oh, so interesting question. You're asking the following question: what happens if the bad person is going to a big major rabbi and says, "Kill this low life bum, or I will kill you"? So you're saying, wait a second. Clearly, the rabbi is much more important than this low life bum. Halacha doesn't distinguish. We don't know. Maybe his descendants will be something unbelievable. Who knows? And because of that, we never ever could make these calculations. I agree, but nevertheless, yeah. Nevertheless, you don't know the value of life of another person. Now, in Sefer Shmuel and source number two, there's a very famous, interesting story. The story of Sheva ben Bichri. I'll just say it quickly. Sheva ben Bichri was a person that he rebelled against David HaMelech, and he says in source number two, Pasuk Aleph, he announces, "Ein lanu chelek b'David ve'lo nachala lanu ben Ishai." We are not the servants of David HaMelech. I do not accept the kingship of King David. So what happens? So Yoav, the army minister of King David comes and circles the city, and he wants to now take down the entire city. This guy, Sheva ben Bichri, is hiding inside the city called Avel Beit HaMa'acha, and he's now circling it. He says, listen, I'm now going into the city. I'm going to wipe out the city in order to reach this person, Sheva ben Bichri. But there's a wise woman in Pasuk Tetvav, Vatikrai Shacha Chama Mineya. There's a wise lady inside the city. By the way, who is this wise lady? We don't know in Tanakh, but Chazal tell us very interestingly. Some say, any ideas? Someone? Serach bat Asher. Very interesting. Serach, the daughter of Asher. She, according to Chazal, lived for a very, very, very long life, maybe until this very day. And she was in that town, and she says the following idea. She says, Yoav, the minister of King David, you wanted to kill and wipe out the entire city? Why should you kill the entire city if you only want Sheva ben Bichri? So he says, Chas v'sholom, I don't have any intention whatsoever to kill the entire city. I only want Sheva ben Bichri. So they have this agreement that the people in the city are going to kill Sheva ben Bichri, take off his head, throw the head over the walls, and that way they'll know Sheva ben Bichri is dead, and Yoav will leave. And indeed, that's what happens in Pasuk Kaf Bet. V'tavoi Shair kol ha'am b'chokhmata, v'yichretu et rosh Sheva ben Bichri, v'ashlichu el Yoav. They indeed, they kill Sheva ben Bichri in order to save the entire city. So we see from this story in Tanakh, a very interesting halacha or story that the city are allowed to kill Sheva ben Bichri in order to save themselves. Now, the Mishnah, if you'll see in source number 3, Mishnah, the Braisa, the Tosefta, in source number 3, in the second page, tells us halacha lemaisa story. Si'ah shel bnei adam. They are a group of people. They're walking, minding their own business, and suddenly amru lehem goyim, a group of bandits come and confront them, and these bandits are holding weapons, and they say, tnu lanu echad mikem v'nargeu. These bandits come and they start to fight with us, and they say, give us one person, I don't know who, I don't care who, or we will kill all of you. Says the Braisa, Kulchem Yargu, Yargu Kulan, Ve'ali Masrulem Nefesh Achad Bisrael. It is better for all of this group to die and not hand out a single person. If you want to save many people, you cannot hand them one person in order to save the entire group, because it's better for all of us to die than us to become partners to this terrible thing and hand you one person, chas v'sholom. However, says the Braisa, im yichaduhu lahim, if they single out a particular person, we want Reuven, and now give us Reuven, or we'll kill all of you, kegon sheyichadu leSheva ben Bichri, in the same way that Yoav ben Tzruya is singling out Sheva ben Bichri, in that case it's fine. You could give out Sheva ben Bichri in order to save the entire group. You have a question?
No, that was kind of it, but also.
Okay.
I presume someone could volunteer.
What?
Someone could volunteer.
Is someone allowed to volunteer? I'll tell you what. Seemingly, I think they cannot volunteer. Yes. Halacha lemaisa, we'll see soon that there are different circumstances, but strictly speaking, a group cannot choose. They cannot have a lottery. They cannot send out a single person in order to save the group, because they should not take part of this terrible thing. So we see from here, we learned from source number 1, a person cannot save himself on the expense of other. He cannot kill another person in order to save himself. We see from here, even a group of people cannot send out one person in order to save the entire group, because they cannot participate in this terrible thing. Only if our enemies are singling out a particular person, like Sheva ben Bichri, in that case, it will be fine. Any questions? Why it's not the trolley problem? After the war, after the tragedy, that's it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right now you don't have
rates,
so it is one or the other.
So here,
it's much more mechanistic than the case that you're dealing with.
Wait, interesting. So let's take this one step further. In the trolley problem, there's another version to the question. One version of the question is that there's a trolley going to now kill five people and you could divert it to one person. There is another version with the bridge and a very fat man on the bridge. And you are now walking the bridge. You could nudge the fat brat man from the bridge. He will fall. He will stop with his body, the trolley, and he will die, obviously. But that way you save the five people. What would you do in that case? Ooh, terrible, right? It's for sure worse. But wait a second, isn't it the same logic as the trolley problem? I don't know. Yeah.
Go ahead. I'll give you a tough, a real life.
Even tougher than this, wow.
In World War II, unfortunately, in the ghettos, the leader of the ghetto was told by the Nazis, let's say in Lodz, says we need to send X number of people on the train to Auschwitz, and then the rest of the community can stay.
Yeah. So this was also a halacha basic question in the Holocaust. Can you now give out people, kill them, and then save the entire society? Allegedly, according to this, you cannot do it. You cannot do it. Now, so seemingly, in the case of Shevet ben Bichri, if the person is singled out, and he's going, and they're asking for this person, so in that case, you could kill them. So some wanted to say that in the case, let's say, of a flight of 9/11, right? Flight 93. So the people who are on this flight are maybe singled out, right? They're now going to die. Anyway, they're now singled out. They're now in danger. Some might suggest that yes, you could now, let's say, take down the plane in order to save many people because they're now singled out like Shevet Bichri. Not so simple because there is an approach in the Gemara. I'll have to go with this a bit quickly because time is very short, but there's an approach in the Yerushalmi in source number 4 and the Taz Paskins is Halacha Maaseh in source number 6. And he says, it's not like a simple case of Shevet Bichri. Let's say a person comes and says, I want Reuven. You have to have a good reason why you want to have Reuven. In the case of Shevet Bichri, Shevet Bichri wasn't an innocent individual. He was what's called Mored Bamalchut. He was rebelling against the kingship of David HaMelech, and a person who's Mored Bamalchut, according to Torah law, he actually deserves to die. So Shevet ben Bichri actually deserved to die since he was singled out. Only when he deserves to die, you could hand out Shevet ben Bichri. But if it's now a regular a regular innocent person, so in that case, says the Taz, you cannot give the person, and it's better for everyone to die than you handing out this person. Yeah?
In the Torah, we see that Pinchas reacted zealously.
Yeah.
Killed the prince, the tribe of Shimon, Zimri.
Yeah. So in that case, again, Zimri deserved to die. He asked Moshe Rabbeinu, should I kill this person? He says, listen, you know the halacha, go ahead. He knew that according to Torah law, he deserves to die. That's why he could kill him in order to save others. So again, when a person is singled out like Shevet ben Bichri and says the Taz, he deserves to die, it is okay. Okay? So again, so at the moment, the trolley problem is a big problem. You cannot kill another person in order to save other people. This poor person who's alone on the other road, so he's not singled out. There is no permission to direct the trolley to this direction in order to save others and kill it instead. Yeah? Very good. Very good. Hopefully we'll get there another 5 minutes. Hopefully. We'll see. Depends on the questions. Yeah.
The trolley is going down. Gravity's pulling it down.
Yeah.
The driver is just steering. Someone was killed. He's not premeditating the murder. But if he turns it, could it not be looked at that he's premeditating killing that single guy?
So seemingly, it will be a problem. Seemingly. And indeed, the Chazon Ish, in source number 10, Chazon Ish, Rav Avraham Yishai Karelitz, please forgive me that there aren't any more translations. This source, he actually wants to differentiate. I think he's saying what actually you said. He wants to say that there is a distinction between moving the trolley as opposed to pushing the fat man. He says a different case, not a trolley, but let's say he calls it an arrow. An arrow is now going to kill many people, and you can now somehow redirect the arrow with the iron dome and kill fewer people. Should you do it? Says the Chazon Ish, he says, you know what? Maybe you could. Because, and he says, it's not like the story of the group of people that cannot send out another person in order to save the group. Why? Because in the case of the group of people, I am sending out this person. I am actively killing this person. I'm sending him to his death. That is me being much more involved in the killing process of this person. However, in the case of the arrow, he says, maybe it's different. Maybe it is. I'm now only redirecting the arrow. And since I'm redirecting the arrow and I'm not touching the person who's now going to die, that might be okay. So he wants us to suggest maybe there is a difference between the fat man on the bridge as opposed to the case of the trolley. Many disagree with him. Dianne Waldenberg in source 11 won't go into it. He disagrees. He says, why should there be any difference? Still, you're actually now sending an arrow to kill another person. So in that case, you are actively killing a person. There shouldn't be any difference. Okay? And also in the case of the flight, right? Let's say I'm now in the American Air Force and I can now take down a plane who's heading to the Twin Towers. Can I take down the plane? So in the case of the flight, you're actually actively killing a person. Maybe that is a problem. Maybe that is like the case of sending a person out of the group, which is a big problem.
Going back to biblical days.
Biblical days.
If one had to kill a person, now think about this, it had to be done by hand.
Yeah.
Close up.
Yes.
With a knife. And a club.
Yes.
None of this business of an arrow.
Yes.
You had to be right up next to him and club and knife.
Yes.
That's a big difference.
I agree. You're much more involved. So again, at the moment, we have a big problem. A person, according to halacha, cannot kill another person in order to save others because we cannot. Because these people are not singled out. They don't deserve to die like Sheva ben Bichri. So strictly speaking, there is no halakha that allows us to kill people in order to save other people. Even if it's one for many. Yeah?
He's an enemy. He's going to kill people.
Who?
Like Warfare, the guy flying
the plane. The guy flying the plane for sure. But what about all the 200 civilians who are on the plane? The innocent people? And we're taking away their life, even for a few extra minutes, it's, according to halacha law, is considered to be a big problem. So the answer, which will actually allow it, is actually in a story that we read every single year, and not less than Yom Kippur, the story of Yonah Hanavi. As we all know, this is in source number 12, Yonah Hanavi, he is running away from Hashem. He doesn't want to go to Nineveh and tell the prophecy that they should do tshuva. He wants to run away. And what happens when he's on the ship? What's happening? There's a whole storm and the ship is about to crash and sink. So it's very interesting. He's surrounded by very, very righteous people, God-fearing non-Jews. And they're all starting to check what is the problem. They have the lottery and say, oh, they see it is because of Yonah. So Yonah, they ask him, what's your story? He says, listen, I'm running away from Hashem. He said, you're not running away from Hashem. How can you do that? So he says to them, in Pasuk Yudbet, I'm in source number 12. In Pasuk Yudbet, Vayomer Alehem, Sa'uni Ve'etiluni El Hayam. You know what? Since I'm a threat for the entire ship, take me and throw me overboard. He volunteers to do that. He says, kill me in order to save yourself. They're not happy to do that. They're still trying to get the land. They're still trying to get back to land, to shore. They're not managing to do so. So they start davening to Hashem, saying to Hashem, please forgive us for what we're going to do. They throw him indeed overboard. And then the sea rests, calms down. And then they are again, once again, they're so afraid of the terrible thing that they have done. So they have now korbanos and they vow a bunch of vows saying they will do tshuva. They feel very, very bad to do this thing. Was Yonah Hanavi allowed to do that? Was he allowed to say to them, kill me in order to save yourself? Were they allowed to do this thing? So he's now doing two aviros. He's also killing himself. And he's also leaf me'ivel at the michshol. He's now causing the non-Jew to do an affair himself. That's the worst possible thing. Yeah?
No, but it's the case of where the single specific person, because they drew lots, so they knew it was him. So he was being named.
So you're saying that he was named and he's actually like Sheva ben Bichri. Interesting. So you're saying that the lottery has a status of being named and he actually deserves the punishment. Interesting.
Well, the purpose of
in Yonah.
Because the sea stops, you know, being a storm.
Yeah, but
maybe Hashem thought it was okay.
Listen, but there is a general rule, Torah lav b'shamayim here. We have to know how we can conduct ourselves. So in source 16, the Shut Binyan Sion, he was a German rabbi, Rav Yaakov Etlinger, he actually asked the question, how did he do it? How did he tell them, kill me in order to save yourself? He cannot kill himself in order to save others. They cannot kill people in order to save themselves. How can he do such a thing? So the answer is brought down in Rashi, source 15. And Rashi says something very interesting. Rashi asks, how was the case of Sheva ben Bichri? How was it that people save themselves in the town of Sheva ben Bichri in order to save themselves? And he gives a different answer than the Gemara itself. Rashi says in source 15, Im tomar ma'aseh de Sheva ben Bichri, how was it that they saved themselves by killing Sheva ben Bichri? So he says something very interesting. He says, in the underlined line, Dafilu lo mesaru lo haya ne'erag ba'ir kshehitpesena Yoav vehen ne'eragim imo. אבל אם היה הוא ניצול אף על פי שהם נרגים, לא היו רשאים למוסרו כדי להציל את עצמם. Says Rashi a very important rule. He says, in the case of the city of Avel Beit HaMacha with Sheva ben Bichri, what was the case there? Yoav says, take out, give me Sheva ben Bichri, or I will kill the entire city. So either way, who is going to die? Sheva ben Bichri. Sheva ben Bichri is going to die anyways. Or he's going to die alone, or he's going to die with the entire city. Says Rashi, why were they allowed? Why was this wise woman allowed to hand out Sheva ben Bichri? Because I think someone here said it. Because he's a dead man anyways. He's going to, what? And that's also the 9/11 case. That since they know the courageous people of Flight 93 of United Airlines, they know their destiny. They know there's no chance they're going to be saved. That's why they were allowed halachically to kill themselves in order to save others. When a person is certain that they're going to die either way, so in that case, you're allowed to kill the person in order to save yourself. And also, they're allowed to kill themselves in order to save themselves. I also brought here in source 17, a fascinating halacha. In source 17, so Rav Zilberstein, he brings from a rabbi called Maharam Chalawa. He was a very, 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 very early rabbi, the Maharam Chalawa. And we began today with the halacha that let's say a person comes to me, says to me, kill Reuven or I will kill you. So in that case, a person should say, kill me instead. I can't kill Reuven. But if a person comes to you, to me, and says, kill Reuven, or I will kill you and Reuven, meaning Reuven will die anyway, says Maram Chalawa, you are allowed to save yourself by killing Reuven. So when the person that is decided to die anyway, so in that case, you're allowed to kill this person. Because of this, halacha lemaisa, says Rav Zilberstein, in the case of Surfside, in the case that you have to now move around the rubble in order to save people, can you now bring the heavy equipment that might kill people in the process? He says, yes, because if you won't bring in the equipment, they're going to die anyways. So you're allowed to actively kill people with the heavy equipment in order to save others, because they're going to die anyways. And that's why in the case of the 9/11 case, they were allowed to kill themselves. And if, let's say, there was a plane around that could take them down, they were allowed to take down the plane, because since they're going to die anyways, so in that case, you're allowed to kill the other person in order to save other people. Yeah?
Then what about by law?
What?
They converged on the house, and they said, send out the men.
Where is this?
In the Chumash, Lot.
Yeah.
They said, send out the men, they didn't know they were angels, and otherwise we'll treat you worse than them. And Lot said, no, they're coming under the protection of my roof.
So maybe in that case it wasn't so certain that they're going to die. He didn't know. Interesting. I don't know. But that's why also in the case of Yonah HaNavi, since now everyone are now in grave danger, the entire ship is about to sink, and everyone are going to die, Yonah is allowed to say to them, that's the answer of the Binyan Sion in Source 16. That's why he says, yes, throw me away. Because since I'm going to die anyways, says Yonah, it is okay. So just to summarize what we learned today, again, very heavy stuff, very sad stuff, and hopefully this will be halacha v'lo lemaisa. Exactly. Baruch Hashem, exactly. The IDF are not listening to my shir and saying, oh, really, that's the answer? Okay, let's do it. So of course, they're not having policy according to my shir, but we learn today according to Tanakh and to Halacha, a person cannot save himself on the expense of another person. A person cannot send out a person in order to save a group unless this person was singled out and he deserves to die like Sheva ben Bichri. But if the entire group are going to die anyways, so in that case, they are allowed to send other people. And because of that, in the case of Surfside, they were allowed to bring heavy equipment in order to save others while they're killing people in the process. They were allowed in United Airlines flight to take down the flight in order to save others. And also, in the case of Yonah, they were allowed to throw out Yonah in order to save the people on board. I'll take questions, but the next show is in 5 minutes, so please have a Zimun, Davin, and okay. Yeah. We no.